Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt and I am a pastor here in this community, and it's really a gift to be together on this beautiful day as we find our way into the week that the church calls Holy Week. This is a week that we mark in the Global Christian Church as Palm Sunday, and so we'll move deeply into that is our hope as we find our way together in worship. This morning, I'll invite you to stand either in body or spirit, and as we have been doing in this worship series, we will open with what the church calls a call to worship, and this will be a responsive prayer, so I'll share the voice of one and invite us to share together our voices as all. On this day, Jesus marched in between the city walls and the temple, in between joyful hosannas and doubtful whispers, in between oppressive poverty and greedy power, in between rampant fear and hope unfurled. On this day, Jesus marched in between what had been and what could be. So may we meet Christ in that liminal space. May we lay down our coats in that messy middle. Hosanna in the highest. We are going to move in us to a song, but I've gone back and forth on this, and I didn't even share this with our music team, but I really struggled because the word that the church shouts, the custom of the word that is shouted on Palm Sunday is Hosanna. And this literally means God save us. God save us. It's a word of praise. God save us. There's another word that we customarily hold until Easter morning, which is hallelujah, which is an expression similarly of praise, but it's a celebration of God saving us. Not a call to save, but God saving us. And as I held all of this, we listened to Hosanna songs, but none of them quite had the dissonance that we want this Palm Sunday to experience. And so we are going to be brave and break a custom here at the table. And we're going to share a song that shares hallelujah in the place of Hosanna. But my hope is that we're already learning more about what these words mean than any song might have taught us in this moment. And that this one might feel the dissonance of empire being unfurled as a way of peace. So let us join our voices as we are led. This is our music team sharing Audrey Assad's Your Peace Will Make Us One.
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down your swords, replanting every vineyard till a brand. I've seen you in our home fires, burning with the quiet light. You are mothering and feeding in the wee hours of the night. Your gentle love is patient.
Amen. May we live into the dissonance of that song and its harmonic beauty as well as we move together in prayer. This is a prayer that comes to us from Sarah Speed from A Sanctified Art. And I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer as we experience this together.
In the city, you'll hear horns, the clatter of the subway, mothers calling to their children, saying, "Take my hand before we cross the street." You'll hear church bells, Salvation Army bells, people asking for spare change, while others ask for directions. You'll hear the whistle from the traffic cop, the exhaust from the bus, that a train is arriving in 2 minutes. You'll hear mothers selling fresh mango, theater kids selling tickets, and religious groups selling ideas. But even with all that shouting, even with all that noise, the birds still sing. Against all odds, thanks be to God, the birds still sing.
Worship with a song that comes to us from Omari and our music team. This is "I Rest My Soul."
I'm here. I abandon all I thought I was. I'm here. Everything I thought I'd be by now, I'm here, and I rest my soul. I'm here, I let go of all I thought. I'm here, no future and no past is known. I'm here, and I'm resting my soul. And I rest my soul in the silence of the moment. I'm here, and because I am, I'm truly free. I'm here, I can rest my soul. I can rest my soul
in the sun.
Thank you.
soul. Come on, bless my soul. Rest, rest my soul. Rest my soul. Rest my soul. Rest my soul. Rest my soul.
As I was walking in, I heard somebody saying, wow. And I was like, yes, that's a wow. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. Let's all breathe in and breathe out. We welcome those online at table.live. Our host is Jay Phoenix. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. And you can use your phone who are in the sanctuary here, and it will take you to our bulletin. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text NEW to 916-452-5016. Whenever I say that, I feel like I'm an air hostess or the number ones. It's like, oh, it's an announcement. We move towards together this morning into Holy Week with Palm Sunday. We will gather for a potluck on Table Farm at 6 p.m. this Thursday, April 17th. Please bring a salad, entree, or dessert to share. This is a child-friendly gathering as we remember Jesus' Last Supper. We'll gather here in the sanctuary and online at 7 p.m. for Holy Friday on April 18th. This worship will be adult-centered, gathering focused on crucifixion of Jesus. We'll gather for Easter sunrise at McKinley Park in Rose Garden on Easter morning at 6:30 a.m. Then we'll be here in the sanctuary online and online for Easter worship celebration at both 9:30 and 11 a.m. Please extend invitation to your friends and neighbors who might be looking for community of faith this Easter. We offer a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which is designed for newcomers to learn more about our community of faith here at the table. A new Growing in Faith series will begin April 22, but is already full. We will host a six-week series online Growing in Faith opportunity via Zoom beginning June 3rd on Tuesday evening from 6:30 and 7:30, till 7:30. Registration is now open for online offering, and we encourage you to sign up today if you'd like to connect with others and learn more about our community of faith. This is an invitation for volunteers. There are sign-ups available still for April 20th if those who want to help in Easter sunrise service to set up and to take this stuff out from the McKinley Park and bring it up here, which is a cleanup crew for 6:30 service. Also, for anyone who'd like to volunteer to lend in their pickup truck, please see me at the end of the service. We need at least one to take a few of our items from here at a morning sunrise service to McKinley Park. So please see me or Debbie, and we'll we'll coordinate together. So this is a volunteer for those who has a pickup truck. So I invite us to remain seated as we move in worship with music team sharing a song which is new to our community and written by Michael Gungor. This is Love Song to Life.
A river is flowing, a star is the movement of light from itself. Life is made of dying, everything keeps changing. Listen to what is our deliverance. Let the music melt through our indifference. Now, sing a little love song to life. Sing a little love song to life. While we have the breath and the time. Oh. While the sun is still in the sky,
are you okay?
My name is Bob Martinez, and whether you're joining us here in person or online, welcome to the table on this Palm Sunday morning. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little walking music. I want to remind our families that we receive an offering in Godly Play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Throughout worship and Godly Play takes place at 9:30 right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Those are such great sounds. Our reading this morning comes from the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Now when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now, if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those that were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out.'"
This is the sound of voices, three singing together in harmony, surrendering to mystery. This is the sound of voices, three. This is the sound of voices, three. Sound of all of us singing with love and the will to trust. Leave the rest behind, we'll turn to dust. This is the sound of all of us. This is the sound of all of us.
This is the sound of one voice. One people, one voice. A song for every one of us. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of
Amen. As our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be in harmony with your one voice. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Our kitchen table leaders gathered last Saturday, just over a week ago, here in this space, and Sandra, who guided our time and helped us to hold space as we gathered for the first time after Linda's death, shared that song with us to both open and close, and it stayed with me. I haven't been able to kind of turn it off. It's been on repeat, and dang, I thought I was ready, and I'm not. Or maybe I am. That song is called One Voice, and it's by a group called the Waylon Jennies. They're a Canadian folk trio, and actually we shared another of their songs at Linda's memorial that Seska introduced us to. Their soul-piercing harmonies keep folks keeping on in the midst of chaos in a world where it feels like at every turn some other shoe drops. For me, over this last week, this song, along actually with all of the other pieces of music that our artists have shared this week, they've been on a Sunday playlist. I just call it Sunday, and I'll turn it on, and my daughter wishes I had other playlists because it just goes and goes and goes. And it has helped me in this moment. That was actually the song that was on as folks were gathering last Saturday, thousands of folks just down the street outside of the Capitol to raise their voices with the hands-off protests. The crowds chanted, folks sang and danced. There's some hysterical signage. There were puppets. And the shouting wasn't just at the Capitol here in California, but actually it was around the country, people raising their voices as one. And then that playlist was on as our family made our way down to Laguna Creek High School on Thursday night. And something similarly powerful happened down at that space. We made our way into, it was our first time to experience what they call unified basketball. And we were there at Laguna Creek to see Sheldon, where we have a friend who's the coach for the unified basketball team, show up and play basketball against Laguna Creek in this high school. And I will say, for those that went to Laguna Creek, the Cardinal is like, it is a very frightening image above. And we held the space, and for those that aren't familiar, unified sports are dedicating to promoting social inclusion. So students connect with one another, students both with and without intellectual disabilities come together on the same team, and they play basketball against students from another school. And so paraprofessionals take the court alongside, for example, a student who is nonverbal and move them up and down or move with them up and down the court as varsity basketball players run the point. And students move in and out, and sometimes they dribble and sometimes they don't. And my favorite was this young person on Laguna Creek's team, and he would go kind of to the corner like Keegan Murray does, and he would just wait there, and when he would finally get the ball, he would shoot, and you would hear him yell over everyone, three! It was fabulous. Like, the game was epic. And if it did not restore your sense in humanity and, like, your hope for humanity, I don't know that you have a pulse. And so we gathered in this space, and our family just celebrated as folks were shouting for both teams. You're like, who are you here for? And, like, everyone. And, like, the mom in Arabic helping her child get down the court. It was just epically amazing. And now when we gather here on Sunday, it is so not lost on me that Pastor Linda brought that kind of uninhibited passion and joy to this very sanctuary. Like, I rest my soul would have been different this morning because she would have yelled at some moment, yes, like more. And our musicians heard that, and she was with them in that space. And the truth is that I long to hear her shouting, and mostly I'm left with a deafening silence in her absence. And this tension is what I want us to kind of lean into together today. The tension between the shouting and the silence that sometimes we have agency in and sometimes just gets imposed on us. And it's my sense, actually, that this tension, this shouting and this silence is precisely what is at play in the deep tradition of what the church calls Holy Week. It compels us into questions. When are we called to raise our voices in a world that says, be quiet? And when are we invited to be quiet, not as absence, but as depth in a world that's filled with noise? What does it mean to speak not from ego, but from wisdom? And what does it mean to hold silence not from fear, but from collective resilience? There are so many ways that the Palm Sunday narrative gets framed in the traditions that make up our Christian community around the globe. Biblical scholars John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg speak in powerful ways to a framing that helps me to understand this day. And I do want to draw on their words, as we have in the past, to help us get a sense of the context around Palm Sunday. For them and for me, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is no ordinary procession. They call it a counter-procession, a counter-procession. And I believe this context is critical if we're to make sense of how we might be called into Holy Week through Palm Sunday. Crossan and Borg remind us that there are actually two parades that are taking place in Jerusalem at this moment. On the west side, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Rome, would have entered with all of the pomp and the intimidation of empire. There would have been war horses, helmets, swords raised high. And that loud scene would have been coming in as a parade from one direction. It's a display of military dominance at the very moment of the Jewish Passover, which is itself a celebration of the Jewish hope for escape, for liberation. And on the other side of Jerusalem, the east side, there is a man not on a war horse, but on a borrowed donkey or colt, depending on which gospel you read. Or perhaps it's both. One of the gospels can't make up the mind, and it shares that it's a donkey and a colt. There's no weapons, though, in that parade. There's no swords raised, just cloaks and branches. Branches that were high get waved, and then placed on the ground. Cloaks, the very thing that says who you are, your identity, gets taken off and placed on the ground. And there's a crowd there, but it's a crowd mostly of nobodies. And they shout words, Hosanna, God save us. And Crossan and Borg argue that this is not a coincidence. This is actually deliberate. Jesus is not passively riding in to fate. He's provoking the imagination of the people. He's confronting the false peace of empire, or Pax Romana, you see in that Latin, the peace of Rome, with the true peace of God, the Pax Christi, or what they call the way of the kingdom or the kingdom. This procession, in its own way, it's a kind of street theater, and I don't know if the introverts showed up, but I have a sense that they might have. They might have been there. This was a performance of resistance, what I would describe as a holy disruption. But Jesus, interestingly, doesn't instigate it. And this is fascinating to me. Jesus doesn't show up and whip the people into a frenzy. He sends a couple of disciples to borrow a donkey, a colt, and he walks. And in doing so, he seems to embody the kind of peace that we opened worship with. A counterpoint, a dissonant counterpoint to empire's loud parade from the other side. He shows up and the people are stirred to act, shouting songs of loud praise, Hosanna. And it's in this presence, just the presence, that evokes this stirring of anticipation and elation about what's on the move with this lowly peasant from the east. There are no commands, no manipulation, no control. Jesus is just present, walking. Catherine Keller and other process theologians would call this the lure of the divine. Jesus doesn't coerce, the divine calls. Jesus doesn't impose, the divine invites. The divine is not an all-controlling king riding atop an army with stallions from the west, but is a counterpoint and a subversive one coming in from the other direction. It's a subtle and persistent whisper of one on foot or on a lowly donkey. And the very movement, the movement itself, seems to draw all things toward creative transformation. And there's almost always a discomfort in creative transformation. Jesus in this scene is not forcing a revolution, but it seems he might be inviting one. Jesus is not shouting orders, but showing up with integrity and vulnerability and courage. And the people seem to recognize it. Their spirits do, and they shout. Perhaps not unlike, actually, what the shouting was like down at the Capitol. Or like what that mom felt as her child figured out how the team moves to defense by going across the court. Or how Linda yelled in the middle of worship. But not everyone joins in the shouting. Isn't that how it always goes? For some, and sometimes for me, the shouting is just too much. Teacher, the religious leaders, or in my favorite translation of this moment from the First Nations version, the religious leaders either get called the upright ones or the separated ones. The upright and separated religious leaders in that ancient day, they look to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." They want the chaos to be stilled. They prefer the silence. And it's my sense that on one level, this could be rooted in fear. Surely silence could help keep the peace, prevent the empire from watching to pay attention to the chaos over on the east side. On another level, it might actually be cynicism. Maybe you've been there. Just skeptical. I've seen this before. It erupts. It's a ruckus. Nothing changes. If you don't feel that in our political moment, I don't really know what to say. Maybe they sense the shouting is empty. It's all just noise. And to be honest, sometimes it is just noise. Sometimes we see movements that are sound and fury, and they signify nothing deeper. Sometimes voices are raised not from wisdom, but from ego. And sometimes shouting becomes a way to drown out the silence that we fear, that I fear. It's a way of avoiding the deep, slow, harder work of transformation. So let us not confuse intensity with depth or volume with truth. But how do we know the difference? How do we discern whether we're adding to the noise or lifting our voice from a place of harmonic resonance? That may well be the discerning wisdom that we so desperately need in this tumultuous time. And it may be what we could feel and sense and see in how Jesus embodies a way for us on this Palm Sunday. Jesus' reply to the Pharisees is as strange to me as it is powerful. To their cry that he make everyone be quiet, he says, if they were silent, the stones would shout. The stones would shout. There's a kind of poetic defiance here, to be sure. But there's something more. Something rooted in the deep tradition which shaped Jesus and the Jewish community around him in that day. In the Hebrew Bible and in the Jewish tradition, the earth is not mute. Creation bears witness, and the prophets remind us the mountains, they tremble. The rivers clap their hands. The lands mourn for injustice, moan for a world that hurts. So the idea that even the stones would cry out is not just a metaphor. It's rooted in a worldview that sees creation as deeply involved in God's story. It's a reminder that this story, God's story, our story, is bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than us. Jesus seems to be saying that this moment cannot be silenced. Truth will find voice. If not from these people, if not from this crowd, then from the ground beneath our feet. And in this moment, Jesus embodies a power of presence and trust, listening to what is with discerning wisdom. And when divine presence enters the scene, it doesn't demand attention, it awakens attention. The stones are not shouting out of anger, but shouting out of recognition. Even the most seemingly inert parts of the world are alive and longing for deep justice and true peace, for truth to be spoken. So the stones, they're not just props, they're not just the background. They are part of the chorus, the choir. They're part of the one voice. Those soul-piercing harmonies, that's what offers a little love song to life. The songs we've been singing this morning. And if the people fall silent, either because they're silenced, or because they choose silence, or because maybe they're just brought up to silence in the tears, the stones won't hold back. Because what is true will not stay buried forever. And yet, there is a time for silence. I asked Bob to conclude our reading this morning with verse 40 in the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. But some of you will know that this story doesn't actually end there. It goes on. After Jesus proclaims that the stones will shout with one voice, then Luke's gospel continues, as Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it. Just a few verses after the joyful parade, Luke tells us that Jesus stops. Or as Omari sang, it's my sense that he rests his soul. And in that moment of resting his soul, he looks over the city, perhaps listening to what is, and it brings him to tears. No shouting, no songs, no ruckus chants, just tears. And a silence that for me sounds deafening. Perhaps because Jesus knows in the depths of his being what's coming. He knows what the cost of confronting empire actually is. He knows the violence that lurks behind the semblance of peace that Pax Romana promises. He knows the failure of imagination that grips even those that think they're closest to him. And with deep compassion for it all, listening to what is, he weeps. There is silence that is avoidance, and there's silence that is truth too deep for words. There's silence that's complicity, and a silence that is the way of compassion. There's silence that hides and silence that holds. And I sense Jesus embodying a silence too deep for words. A silence that is compassion. A silence that holds it all of what truly is. Jesus knows when to walk quietly and when to trust that the stones he walks on will cry out as one voice. This, I believe, is the kind of wisdom that we're called to cultivate in this wilderness time that the church calls Lent, maybe in the days ahead, in what is supposed to be our holiest of weeks. Not just the courage to speak, but the discernment to know when our voice is needed and when we're just adding to the noise. I don't always work with the fire department, but when I do... Not just the courage and the freedom to shout, but the presence to also listen deeply to creation, to our neighbors, in all of what that word evokes, and to the divine. To notice what stirs in our bodies when we encounter the holy. To trust that not all silence is absence and not all sound is truth. So maybe this Palm Sunday calls us to both shouting and to silence. For our lives are filled with moments like this one. And it happens on the streets at the Capitol, or in gymnasiums or schools or our workplace, or right here in the sanctuary in the middle of a song. It happens in our relationships, moments where we're invited to choose, to speak, to listen, to erupt in praise or hold space for grief? Will we march in protest or rest in the presence that makes all protest possible? It's not an either or, friends, but a both and. In short, as our musicians have already been singing with us, this is a love song to life. with soul-piercing harmonies that call us to sing with one voice. Both words, wordlessness, with crowds and stones. With rising shouts of Hosanna and falling tears of compassion. So may we become wiser in our shouting and more faithful in our silence. As we, like those first disciples, the stones they trod upon, listen. For to listen to what is our deliverance. And our deliverance comes not from the power and might of the sword, but from within the power that is love. A love whose peace will make us one. Amen.
Friends, Jesus' authentic response when he looked over the city was to weep, and we too are invited into authentic response. In the Christ tradition, we're invited to the table through what the church calls a prayer of confession. And in the prayer of confession, we're honest. We're honest about the fact that we are works in progress. We tell the truth of our lives. That's vulnerability. We lay it all out before God in dissonance. But this moment of prayer isn't just about us. In the prayer of confession, we also reveal who God is. God is merciful. Our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So let us pray, knowing that the God's truth will always mean grace. Grace for us. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join me in our call and response prayer of confession. Great Creator, forgive me.
When I speak before listening, when I speak over my neighbor, when I speak with barbed words.
Creator God, forgive me.
When I listen to society, when I listen to my friends, when I listen to the news, but I do not listen to you.
Creator God, forgive me.
When I shout out, but do not shout your name. When I listen, but do not listen for your voice. Forgive me.
Create in me a heart like yours.
Amen.
Friends, whether or not you stuck to your Lenten goals this year, whether or not this is your first time in church or your 1,000th time, whether or not you know to speak to God or listen to God's voice, God listens to you. God is merciful. God is abounding in steadfast love. There is nothing you could do or leave undone that could keep God from loving you. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel.
We are seen, we are heard, we are loved, we are forgiven. Not a day goes by that we ever walk alone. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those nearby.
Gracious God, we give you praise. And and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son, the body. Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one to love like your Son.
Invite us to join our voices together as one as we pray what the church calls the Lord's Prayer. And this morning we'll pray a version which comes to us from the New Zealand prayer book. So let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them your hope alive in the world. Amen. We invite you to be seated.
All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, and all truly means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. And please know that whether you're online or here with us in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table open to all. In short, you cannot make a mistake. We will have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. And each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers, juices in the cup. After taking a piece of bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, or return to the pews when you feel ready. Let's move together in tender care in this divine dance.
Friends, this is the bread of life. It's the body of Christ, and it's broken for you. And this is the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for you and for all of creation. Kara, this is the bread of life broken for you and God's love poured out for you. Amen. Amen. We encourage those praying with candles to remain in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, we give you thanks for the way that you invite us into in this Holy Week, for the shouting and for the silence, for the depth at which you meet us. May your peace bind us together, and may your love call us into the world as expressions of healing and justice and care. We offer this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to just name one of the challenges that we experience. One of the challenges we are experiencing is a need for simultaneously more space at 9:30 and more prayer stations at 9:30. And that is, these are good problems. When our children go out to godly play, it frees up some space in here. And needing more prayer stations and also more pews is a complicated thing to figure out what to do with. I will note for anyone that might desire, we have a service at 11 that does not, thank you, Tim. That was good comedic timing. I appreciate that. We are one. I'll just leave that out there. And I'm actually not teasing about that, especially as we move out of Easter for folks that it works for your family to be at 11. It might be a gift that would create space in here for us to continue to grow at our various services. We hope that you will respond, whether it is to that or to something much bigger in your own life that God might be calling you to. We move into Holy Week together with an invitation for you to join us on Maundy Thursday. That's this Thursday at 6 p.m. We'll gather at Table Farm. It's our new farm site. It's a little further down Highway 99 for those that haven't been to it yet. We'll be out there for a potluck. We'll have tables and chairs. We invite you to bring dishes to share. We'll connect with one another. There'll be some art there and a short gathering together in that space, about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, we imagine. It'll be great for families with children and for people of all ages. And then here on Holy Friday, we'll gather at 7 p.m. in person and online as we remember Jesus' crucifixion and hold that space together. Most people will rush right ahead to Easter. And I would invite you to slow down this year and to join us and mark these days as we move through Holy Week. And then we'll be together at sunrise on Easter morning and then together here in worship at 9:30 and 11. There is some amazing bread from Ezekiel and the Rise Up team outside. There are a number of ways you can connect with others on our website. I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians will send us out this morning. This is their arrangement of some poetry by Howard Thurman. This is Open Unto Me.
Wisdom in confusion, courage for my fear, joy for my sorrow, open unto me, strength for my weakness, hope for my despair, peace for my troubles, open unto me.
Open unto me. Yeah. Open unto me. Open unto me.
Thanks for all you've given. Yes, to what would be. You've given,
yes to what will be, rooted in this moment, reach and given. Thanks for all you've given. Yes to what will be, rooted in this moment, reach and given. Thanks for all you've given. Yes to what will be, rooted in this moment, reach and given. Thanks for all you've given. Yes to what will be.
It's helpful to start in the tears and then to find our way into the shouting. And the truth is, the church's story holds the space for all of it. And that's where Palm Sunday meets us. It meets us in the shouting that rises and in the tears that fall. So may we go from this place courageous in our shouting and faithful in our silence. Amen.
New charge. New charge.